Hey, what's going on, everybody? My name is John Bautista, and you are tuning in to Season 2 of the Marriage Savvy Podcast. Man, if you don't know, now you know that the Marriage Savvy Podcast has been out. Season 1 is already in the books. And we are jumping into Season 2. I mean, I've missed you guys. I don't know about you guys, but I've definitely missed chatting with Kim and discussing topics and bringing on people. And so first, I'd like us to catch up with Kim and see how things have been going. And then I want Kim to help us discuss and reframe this idea of mature love. I'm kind of curious on what she's learned over the past few months. So stay with us coming up on today's show. The Marriage Savvy Podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be used to diagnose, treat, or act as medical advice. Always seek the advice of your primary care physician, mental health professional, or qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition and/or mental illness. Kim, it is so good to hear your voice. And to see your face. I know that some of us may not be able to see your face, but I can hear you and see you.
Hey, John, I've missed you. Yeah, it's been a few trips around the sun, it feels like, since we did this. A lot's happened. So yeah, well, we were going to start recording, what, in January?
Yes.
We were going to try to start back in January.
Yes.
Yeah, and here we are in March. Although 2 months is not bad considering everything that's gone on. But so we took a break for a little bit and my world turned completely upside down. And so took me a bit to get my feet back under me again. So I started feeling poorly right before Christmas. And you know that feeling when you're like, something's wrong, something's really wrong. And
yeah,
I was having abdominal pains and there is some things going on, but it's treatable. And so, I mean, it's not fun thinking about having any kind of disease at all.
Right. Yeah.
But it's not cancer. So you can deal with it. Yeah.
Wow.
You can deal with it. But
I mean, what a start to 2025 was.
Yeah, 2025 has been rough.
That's been rough. Oh my gosh.
2025 has been rough.
Yeah. Well, that being said, even just hearing that story, it is so good to hear your voice and to see your face and to know that, yeah, like you're just going to be here. So,
my husband's relieved because I was actually, you know, in that 6 week period, I got to this place where I was like, you know, I think I can help him find the next wife. I think I can help him.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
Control issues much? You know.
That's
like,
funny.
I'm like, John, I love you. I don't want you to be alone. Let me help with that. He's like, we are not having this discussion. Stop it. I don't know. Maybe I ought to write a book. Things you think when you think you're dying. Things you think when you think you're dying. There's a lot of thinks in there. But I have so many clients. They're coming in. And I get it. I mean, you're involved in the day-to-day grind of life. It's so easy to forget how important, what's really important and how important they are, and to take for granted the people that you love and that love you. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I think everybody, it's such a gift to have that perspective realigned. And yeah. I almost think everyone should have the gift of thinking they're dying for a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, I really do.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't think that's a bad thing, but I am curious, like, why that would be helpful.
It helps you to take a lot of the self out of things. Like, that's probably not a great way of saying it, but so for instance, I'm somebody in my whole life that I've struggled with contentment.
Okay.
Of knowing when you're at a place where just learning how to be where you are and not thinking about where you want to be or where you thought you'd be or the regrets that you've had or whatever, and just learning how to be really present in your life in the actual day to day. And all of a sudden, it's like you're, you know, when you're in a crowded street downtown New York and all the momentum and the traffic is moving forward and you're moving with it and you're looking around and you're trying to figure out what's next and where you got to be and what you're supposed to be doing. And all of a sudden it's this, you hit this wall and you're like, what? And you realize everybody's rushing and pushing and pulling to go in directions that you don't really want to go. It's finding silent moments where you're like, what is really important to me? And who do I want to be with when I'm there?
Yeah.
And so it just, like I said, it just was a hard stop. And it was so good for me. It was so good for me. And I also had to deal with my fear of dying, which that's a big one. The fear of death and the fear of dying was always something that I struggled with. And I feel like I came to a real place of peace around that.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I feel like that, if nothing else, if I got nothing else from this whole experience, which I did, but if I didn't, just not being afraid of death anymore was huge.
Wow. And that's a big one for people. I mean, I know for me, it's always like this unknown territory. Like death is something that I haven't, you know, or will not experience until it happens. So I don't know what it is to be in that situation. But for like a lot of people, I know that almost everyone that I've spoken with, you know, we are kind of scared of the unknown, of dying, of being in that moment where, you know, it's you and eternity. And what is that? Is there, you know?
Yeah. And if you don't have a relationship with the Creator, which, you know, we don't talk a lot about that on our podcast because we're not trying to put together a Christian message out there. But I will tell you that that was where the peace came from. That is where the priority shift really happened for me. I also, you know, I have these clients that I see all the time that come and talk to me about loving their spouses, but not feeling whatever that it thing is that makes them feel like this is the person they want to be with the rest of their life. I'm thinking in particular about one now, and they call each other their best friends. They love each other. They enjoy each other. But one of them just isn't sure that this is the kind of love that he thinks he should feel. That there should be more, whether it's more intensity or more excitement or more passion or more that feeling of really infatuation, I think, more than. And so it's understanding that mature love looks very different as it's maturing than fresh, young, new, exciting love, right? And so that this couple's not that unusual. I mean, I hear this quite a bit. And I got to tell you, to be perfectly honest, I struggled with it for a long time in my own marriage.
So you're saying that you had a similar thought or feeling as the client that you're seeing now?
Yeah. About the 10-year mark.
Okay.
Where I was like, I love my husband, but I'm not in love with my husband. And I even remember telling the therapist that I felt like he was more like my brother than a lover or a husband, which is great to hear. I'm sure that was really something for John. But yeah, I struggled with it too. And that was really clarifying in this process, because when you think you're leaving this earth and you're going to be leaving it in a painful, suffering way, I mean, knowing that my person was my person, he's going to be there for me no matter what. I mean, he's going to be the one that's holding my head up while I'm vomiting off the side of the bed. If I'm doing chemo, he's the one that's taking me to the doctor. And I just know the man I married is that kind of integrity, that he's going to be that. And he's going to walk me through that, right? It makes that infatuation love look really foolish and shallow in comparison.
Man, that's interesting. I mean, like you've talked a few times about the stages of a relationship and how at the very beginning, it's a little bit more ego-centered, right? Like, mm-hmm. man, somebody enjoys me. Someone likes to spend time with me. Someone likes my touch, right? But then I think even just the way that you phrased it, I mean, someone now, it's about being there for one another.
Yeah. Consistency, trust, solidarity, loyalty, respect. And you know, those are, you may have that in the early stages too, but as you mature and grow together, I mean, it's like a fine wine. It just gets better.
That's a good illustration. But it might come at a cost.
Not always. I mean, I tell couples all the time, you still can have those moments with your partner where you just feel, you know, the whole tingly feelings or whatever that you associate with that kind of intensity. You just don't have them like you did in the beginning as often or, you know, but I still have them. And sometimes you might have to work at feeling in love.
What do you mean by that?
But not the intensity, creating the intensity.
Okay.
Or the passion or maybe even lust, you know, and you've been married 35 years. There's so much in life you have to do. You have to go through to grow yourselves up. Right? You have to, in its simplest forms, you know, you have to fall down. You have to scrape your knees. You have to have your heart broken. You have to. But there's so much in life that can be shared that makes it so much sweeter. And so who do you trust and let in when you have someone that you know is going to be there and be your person and let that in? Don't ever throw that away. Don't ever throw that away because you feel like, oh, maybe I just don't necessarily feel a certain feeling at the intensity that I want to feel it. I'm like, don't throw it away for that.
This last year, you know, you've been there, you and the Marriage Place really have been there through part of my story with my mom. You know, my mom passed away in 2024 and I'm coming up on the year anniversary of her passing in May. And I was just remembering this time last year, I was in Lubbock, Texas, trying to pack up my mom to move because she was so scared of what was happening to her mind. And what you said about, you know, there's a lot of things that we share or that we can share in this life, but there are only some things that are really kind of specific to the human experience of that specific individual. And I remember thinking, it's like I could be with my mom, I could serve her, I could attend to her, but man, she was going through her own process with this. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the most gut-wrenching things to realize, is that even though I was telling my mom, Mom, we're going to do this together no matter what, I know that for both of us, there was this truth of, yeah, but this is something that she has to do on her own eventually.
Yeah. I remember that time for you. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, thank you. It's weird to think a year has passed by, but just as our conversation has took us here tonight. I mean, it's just something that I constantly think about. You know, life is really short. And I think it's really interesting that we want to grow up so fast and find the next stage of life that we do miss the most important things that we want to invest in, that we should be investing in.
Yeah. And, you know, when we talk about how so much of our journey, you know, is ours alone.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of what we know as couples therapists, that to be in relationship, to be in healthy relationships with other people, we really do have to be in a healthy relationship with ourselves. Sometimes we will never work on relationship skills unless we're in trouble in our relationships or we're feeling threatened and have to. So many people will never go into a couples therapist or deal in therapy themselves unless they feel like their partner's about to walk out or they're about to lose it all, right? Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I mean, there's one way to get there, but how much better it would be if we would do that work of being in a good relationship with ourselves before our primary relationships are in trouble or before we have one. You know, cultural values changed for sure. And I think we've lost ourselves in that shift of finding happiness, contentment in serving and loving other people in our lives, being relational with other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've done ourselves a disservice for sure.
In America, there's kind of this idea of like, hey, you know, you find your own identity like within yourself. No one can tell you what to do. And essentially you self-assert. And I think I see self-assertion even in couples, like whenever they come into the practice, they're saying, this is my way and this is how I do things. And I'm not going to change because this is who I am.
I see that. Whether they'll admit that necessarily or not, some of them are savvy enough to know better than to say, to come out, say those things exactly. But
yeah,
they certainly live like that.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Well, Kim, thank you so much for your insights. And I'm just so happy to be back and to see you and to hear your voice. And I'm excited about this new season.
Season two. Want to tell everybody what we're going to do?
We can, yeah.
I think, you know, I've told my story a lot. And there have been a few times that I've gotten my husband to get on a video or talk a little bit about his experience in the marriage and how we got to that place of wanting, you know, where I wanted out and he didn't. And kind of the journey that we went through with our own marriage. And we're going to maybe explore that a little bit online. God love that man. I mean, I was telling him about it. He turned just a little bit green. He's like, wait, we're going to do what?
John's like, why?
Why would I do this? Why? I'm like, but you're helping other people, honey. That's why.
Yeah. No, I'm excited for that. Yes. In season two, we're going to be kind of unveiling a little bit more of Kim and John's story about how they came to a place to where they realized, man, this is really tough. I don't know if I want to be here. And then how they did the work to get out of that.
Yeah. And are still doing the work every
and are still doing
every
the work.
Day.
That's right. Man, what a way to kick off season two. Man, this first episode got me in my feelings right now. Like, I'm just thinking, you know, some of the most important things are revealed to us whenever there's pressure. Like, that's just the truth. Like, sometimes the most difficult things are the things that help us get better at loving ourselves and loving someone else. Man. Well, thank you guys for jumping in on season two, episode one. I hope that you guys continue to stay savvy out there, and we will see you on the next episode of the Marriage Savvy Podcast. My name is John Bautista. Peace.